Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What can pastors and churches do with regards to political activity, lobbying and endorsing or supporting or educating regarding political candidates? We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, every opportunity that you have to vote, you ought to exercise the right to vote. And certainly, if we go back in history, before the explosion of media and now, of course, mass media, where did the people in the local communities get their information about the intersection of faith and law and policy? It was from the pulpits. In fact, Matt, if you go back to the early founding of America, the Declaration of Independence and its themes were preached over and over again from the pulpits. We know, for example, they had election year sermons every year. When the legislature would convene, they would be in the environment of a pastor giving them a biblical sermon as they began their session. Didn't just have an opening prayer, but a pastor would preach the sermon about their role in government and politics from a biblical perspective. Churches from the beginning have been involved. Without pastors and churches, there would not have been an American Revolution. I don't think there would be a United States of America.
No, and in fact, many of our founding fathers who signed the Declaration and were at the Constitutional Convention were pastors. And this misnomer, this made-up phrase, separation of church and state, that is found nowhere in the Constitution, it's time to reunite church and state. John Adams, who was our second U.S. president, he famously observed, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." We know where the founding fathers stood, and any so-called notion of separation of church and state is historical revisionism.
Yeah, I think so many people misinterpret that now, and pastors and churches live in fear that they cannot speak about political issues, quote unquote, which are really life issues, God's, you know, issues, those kind of things, or even promote candidates nowadays. They live in fear they can't do that.
Yeah, and when you say we want to unite church and state, we're not saying that the government ought to coerce religion. You know, we saw that during the time
of Constantine.
Constantine ultimately made Christianity legal, which stopped the persecution. But then the church became part of the state, and because it became part of the state, got corrupted. We're not talking about that.
Of course not. Not a theocracy.
No, and that's not what the founders were talking about. But they, what they did talk about and what they did advocate is that Christians, people of faith, ought to be involved with and say something to the local body politic.
Yeah.
That there was not this wall of separation where people of faith and moral values ought to be simply excluded. That without moral people receiving their guidance from the Bible, the republic wouldn't work, because you had to have a moral people that ultimately understood self-restraint, individual human dignity, that we are created in the image of God, that our rights predate government, they come from God. That's the statement of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And so there were pastors and people that were very much involved in the issue of politics. They didn't see this us and them kind of mentality. And yet what we have today are some pastors thinking that they can't even talk about issues of political consequence.
They've been tricked. They've bought into the lie that somehow these moral issues that fall under the purview of the church, that the left, the secularists, have politicized, that now because they have politicized issues that fall under the purview of the church, that they have to step back. Well, George Washington could not have disagreed more. We're not talking about a theocracy. We're talking about biblical principles in public policy. Washington said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, Religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. And he went on, but that clearly he's talking about the import of religious and moral, meaning biblical Christian principles within the body politic.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we have a Patriot's Handbook called Patriot's Handbook of Political Action for Pastors and Churches. We also have a DVD, and the DVD package with the DVD and this little handbook is called Silence is Not an Option. And this is for pastors and churches. We encourage you to get this to your pastors and churches because you can be involved. Churches ought to be involved. We cannot ignore the faith issues, the moral issues that intersect with our community, whether it's on the issue of abortion, marriage, pornography, whatever it might be, poverty, whatever it might be. Those things are debated by politicians, but they're biblical moral issues, and we must address them, and pastors are free to. In fact, from the beginning, not one church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for engaging in lobbying, for example, for or against a federal, state, or local piece of legislation. And in fact, not one church has ever lost its status for endorsing or opposing a candidate. You can educate about candidates. You can encourage people to vote. You can, in some states, actually hold voter registration there by passing out a voter registration form or bringing in your local voter registrar. You have to check on the individual state laws on how you do that. You can encourage people to vote. And you can also educate them. And I think this is important, whether through objective voter guides that just simply, you don't have to say, vote for this person, vote for that person. Give them the biblical moral issues, say, for example, on life. Preach about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have a voter guide, or if not, you can put up on the screen what candidate A and candidate B believe on the issue of various aspects of abortion. And people can make their own decision. You teach them the biblical foundation, and then educate them on where these candidates stand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, voting, I think, is so critical because we're preaching on Sunday, and we all are agreeing on these various core issues. But then on Tuesday, when you go to the ballot box, you can't designate someone to be your representative to speak on your behalf, whether it's locally, at the state level, or on the federal level, that actually is contrary to those values.
But you know, we are, as a church, we are called to be lights on these issues. It's not a choice. I mean, we are called by God to do that, to be the light. And you know, every day we see the culture getting dimmer and dimmer and succumbing to the sin. So we as a church need to stand up and be the light and encourage these leaders to speak on these issues.
Amen, Holly. And you know, the late Reverend Jerry Falwell, founder of Liberty University, I love this quote by him. He said, "I'm being accused of being controversial and political. I'm not political, but moral issues that become political, I still fight. It isn't my fault that they've made these moral issues political,
right.
But because they have doesn't stop the preachers of the gospel from addressing him." So he gave kind of a clarion call to preachers of the gospel, and that's all of us. We're all commissioned to engage the Great Commission to speak truth and to stand up for these principles.
Right. There's nothing political about what God says, you know, what marriage is between one man and one woman, what God says, the creation of life, the value of it, the protection of it. That's very clear. Those are his mandates. That has nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, and back in 1965, Dr. Falwell preached a message that essentially said ministers should not be marching, that their mission was behind the pulpit. But then the day after Roe versus Wade, when it came out in his local newspaper, he realized that these moral issues had now come into the pulpit,
right,
into the church. That was the issue of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, and he realized it, he knew that he had to speak up. He didn't go out looking for political fights, but he had to speak biblical truth to his congregation and to the community and to the nation, and he did. And that was the turning point. And when we are called to account, what did we do to try to help save the lives of innocent children in the womb? As just one example, we can't say, well, we didn't want to speak on that issue because it would offend someone. We have to speak truth, but we also have to speak love and forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ. but we can't ignore it. We can't just simply say, I had other things to do. I was too busy. No, you've got to educate yourself. Pastors, people in the pew need to educate yourselves and get involved and vote biblical values. This is a critical year, as are all years when there are elections upcoming. Elections do matter. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. You can order our Silence is Not an Option action pack, which includes a DVD and the Patriot's Handbook. Give this to your pastor and churches and distribute it in your local churches around your community. lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.